hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Kanasadage on RK.
Salut, ici Matt Track, vous écoutez CKUT 90.3 FM.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I mean, let's keep it real. It could never work, but it just feels so good. And, you know, it would just be better for us if I keep these feelings to myself. Listen.
You will always be my secret. It turns me on the more I keep it. You will never know. I won't let it show. Cause you're my secret. Secret.
Is it your voice, the way you talk to me? Sex appeal, or could it be the boyish sexuality? Could it be your style, your vibe, your tendencies, your magnetic ability, the playful little lumière de rouge et de noir? Ooh, ooh. Enfin, ce chapitre tire à sa fin. Je peux fermer les yeux, la plume à la main. En l'honneur de qui je serai demain. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh. Nier tout point de repère et repartir à zéro pour prouver qu'on existe. Temps qui passe, temps qui file et nous oublie. Qu'on soit vilain ou héros, à travers la tempête. Regretter le passé, ça ne vaut pas la peine. Moi j'ai tout donné, mon bonheur et ma haine. Et malgré le doute qui me mène en enfer, je veux savourer ce...
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is no stranger to the airwaves. She's a Montreal-based R&B singer-songwriter, and Shahara Sinclair, continues to bring a rare blend of talent, experience, and tenacity to both her music and the business aspects of her career. Born and raised in Montreal, Shahara credits her Jamaican-born father as her first influence. My dad loved to sing, she says. He was always singing in the house when I was a kid, playing Teddy Pendergrass, the Jacksons, Luther Vandross, the Stylistics. That was how I fell in love with music. Even today, I think that still shines through in the way I write melodies. Born performer, Shahara took any opportunity to step on stage. By age 14, her efforts became yet more focused when she joined a Montreal gospel choir. Shahara Sinclair, welcome back to Soul Perspectives. What?
What a intro!
Listen, I are sitting listening, I are writing, so I have to read it properly.
So nice!
It's so nice, you know. Wait till me read the rest of it later on.
Can't wait.
Shahara, welcome back. It's so lovely to see you. Thank you very much for being here, taking the time. I know you're a busy woman, and yeah, we'll get into that.
Not so much these days, uh-huh. To be honest.
I lie, I tell.
Happy to be here with you.
Why you always lying? Why you always lying?
It's a different kind of busy.
Listen.
It's a different kind busy.
Busy. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
When you're looking at the clock and you're like, oh gosh, Where did time go?
You're right. All right. But, yeah. Shahara. I'm not running around like mm-hmm. I used to. But
you're running around your apartment.
Yeah.
Come here. Put it down. Sit down. Stand up. Come here.
You got a point, bro.
I'm just saying. Oh, Shahara. How are you doing?
I'm keeping it together. I'm good.
Well, you know, we've been living through quite an unusual situation, especially for us, because we haven't gone through something this major, which is our lovely pandemic, COVID-19, Omicron, this Delta variant, up variant, down variant, right variant, yeah, back and forth variants. So we've been living through this for at least 2 years now, and how has that been for you? Because you are a performer through and through. Like, that's your bread and butter, right?
It is. Not only is it my bread and butter, which is very important, but mm-hmm. it also keeps me sane. You know, it allows me to express myself, to get mm-hmm. my feelings out, to connect with people, mm-hmm. and poof.
Gone.
It's just gone, Kim.
So
gone. Gonzo.
Finito. Yeah. So that is my question. Like, how has it been like when the pandemic hit March 14th?
You want me to walk you through? I'm gonna walk you through.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Chat to me.
So when it first started, it took me a while to kind of grasp the immensity of the whole thing, right? You hear about these viruses that come and go all the time that never really touch you, right? It's kind of like they just...
Ebola, H1N1, Salmonella. Even Salmonella, like...
Salmonella? But yeah, you feel me. So these things, it feels like they just come and go. So for this one to actually touch home was kind of like, huh? What's going on here? What is this? Is this for real?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just going to be like a touch and go kind of thing.
Right.
So at first... I really welcomed the break because, you know, for the last few years, I've just been running around from gig to gig. I feel like I never have any downtime. Whenever I did have like a stretch of a few days off, I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get away. Let me jump on a plane. Let me,
right.
You know, I was like, let me take a little vacation. I got a week off.
Right.
So I just felt like I was like a hamster.
On a treadmill.
On a wheel. Exactly. Just running around in circles. And, so when, you know, everything just kind of shut down, at first I was like, wow, let me just exhale here for a second, mm-hmm. take a breath. You know, and in 2 twos, I'm going to be back up and running. So let me just appreciate this break.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say like the first week,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of chill. The second week, the reality started to set in. Why? Because my 2-year-old was home.
Right.
All the daycare.
All the time. All day, every day.
But at first, like I said, the first week, it was all love, right? Because
it was like a mini vacation.
Paddles in the morning.
At home vacation. Don't have to.
Let's have lunch together. Mm-hmm. Cheers. It was so cute, right? Mm-hmm. Singing songs, hanging out. And then the second week, I was like, whoa. My errands are starting to pile up. I'm not getting anything done. The place is a mess. How are we going to get groceries? I need some, you know, time to myself. My brain feels like it's going to explode and ooze out my ears.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when things started to get real. And I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I was like, whoa, this thing seems like, you know what I mean?
Dark.
Yeah, it's not just a touch and go. You know, I was starting to get calls of cancellations and postponements and can you return my deposit?
Yeah, because this is an act of God, right?
Exactly.
It's one of those clauses that you never expect in your contract to ever be fulfilled.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So then there was a lot of like damage control.
Mm-hmm.
The following few weeks, and it started to build up. I was getting, you know, anxiety. I was super stressed. You know, just like tasks like cooking and cleaning just seemed like I could never get on top of them. It just seemed, it was crazy.
100, yeah.
So it was really tough. Then I started to really have a hard time. And, you know, I had some dark thoughts. I had some really dark thoughts. But luckily, having a two-year-old at home to look after every minute of the day, although it was hard, it was so helpful in other ways, because I could never stay in my dark thoughts.
Right.
You know, he would take a nap and I'd sit there on the couch and I'd be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Do I have to change careers? How am I going to pay my mortgage? But then he'd wake up, mama, let's watch Paw Patrol.
The same episode for the 176th right? time.
So, oh my gosh, I can't even explain to you the amount of times I've seen Moana. Like, it's unreal. I could recite the entire movie. So, so that's it. So he kept pulling me out. And as challenging as it was, you know, it kept me from being able to sit in my dark thoughts, which was, you know, and then, I mean, that helped for a while. And then after that, I thought, okay, I need to do other things. I need to find other ways to express myself. I need to find ways to get inspiration. I need to find ways to get motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, you know, I'm going to start writing. And also, I mean, Ken had a lot to do with it, because in the beginning of the pandemic, he kept hitting me up. He was like, let's write, let's record. And I was like, are you crazy? Like,
who's Ken?
I can't even think straight right now. I can't write a song. You know?
But who's Ken?
Kent Austin. So he was the producer from my first album as well, No Turning Back.
Right.
And then we didn't work together for the last album, my second album. So we haven't worked together in a long time. And we've both been busy. I mean, he's DJing, producing other artists, whatever. And I was off doing, you know, a second album with another production company. And then, of course, as you know, always performing with my band. When everything shut down for us, you know, he reconnected with me and he was like, come on, let's write, let's record. And I kept like, okay, soon, let's see what's happening right now. Let me just try to, you know what I mean?
Try to get this stuff together.
Like a system going, you know, like I need to figure stuff out. He kept pushing. And as annoying as I found it, it was super helpful. He would just show up at noon. Let's go. Right. Let's record. Let's do this, you know? And so I started writing and recording. And in the beginning, it was really tough. You're a writer too, so I'm sure you must have your times, you know, where it's like you sit down and you're just staring at the paper and you're like, something's there, but how do I get it out? And then you get something out and you're like, but that's not it. That's not it.
Well, you know what I mean? I learned a technique of writing.
Teach me your ways.
Well, I wouldn't call it a way. It's to get, because writer's block is not writer's block. There's no such thing as writer's block. So what my professor at the time said to me, if I'm remembering it correctly, it's write one word, then write another word, then write another word, and just don't think about it. Don't think about what you're writing. Just write.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it sound like garbage. It's written, and now it's like, because, and my other mentor was telling me yesterday, I had a meeting with her yesterday, and she said to me, what you need to do is you need to, like, because I'm writing a play, and I'm stuck because I want to take the characters to a different level, and it's extremely difficult. And she's like, Kim, just write 15 minutes out of the day.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like a muscle. So like you take 15 minutes and you go to 17 minutes. Not even 20 minutes, 17 minutes. And then 18 minutes. And then 20 minutes. And set your timer. And you just write. Write. Don't think about it. Okay, this is my character. Boom, I'm a write. And then you just keep going like that. Because what happens is when we're in like a pandemic situation, we're having mental health issues, we are clogged up with everything that's happening. And as artists, like we need to be free. We need to be able to like walk outside and like not worry about wearing no mask or nothing. We need to be able to embrace people and embrace, like have a hug that lasts 1.5 minutes. you know, and not be
worried about it. We had a few of those.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And like, we need to that freedom, but the only way that you can get that freedom is by exercising the muscle. You have to exercise the writing muscle. And in order to do that, you just have to let each word come out. I remember there was a friend of mine who had a whole poem. He said he had writer's block, and then he wrote writer's block at the top of the page. And then he ended up writing a whole poem about writer's block.
Oh, good for him.
And he was performing it, and it was funny, it was engaging. It was like, yo, I can relate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's as simple as my thoughts are blank.
Yeah.
You know, and then next line, I have nothing to say. And then you just keep writing and keep writing, and then a star is born.
Because there's always a reality. Something's always happening, right?
Which something is always there. You know, it's like when I used to take drives with my dad, and I'd be staring off into space, just looking at the countryside as we're passing. And he's like, what you thinking about? And I'm like, nothing. And he's like, you can't think about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, nothing can't be there.
Yeah. Or you're dead.
And even when you're dead, because the gurus love to say energy is what? It's created. It cannot be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And we are energy. We're just carbon beings, but we're energetic beings. Mm-hmm. So even when our body is extinguished, we continue to exist. We just can't see it, or not all of us can see it. Some people can see, but we just don't have that perception. So like when it comes to writer's block, you just need to take your pen and your pad.
Yeah.
And you just sit down. And if you say, you know what, today I need to write 5 lines.
Yeah.
Just write 5 lines. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time around.
Yeah.
Like you have what, 2-3 albums now? More than that?
Three
albums. Come on, you can't tell me that you wrote the first album in the first sitting. It's like, oh my god, that was a great album in like one sitting.
Well, you know what?
You had to work on them. You had to massage them.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But normally, I guess because I'm usually so inspired that I'm able to write songs that I love very quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's always been like a thing for me. Like I'll get in the studio, someone will put a beat on it, be like, oh, I can already hear the song. And I'm like, brrr. I can write it super quickly. And I sing it back and I'm like, wow, this is it. Like it just sits in that place and it feels right. Yeah. And then, you know, I always sleep on it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just in a vibe right now and let me sleep on it and let me listen to this again tomorrow. I listen to it the next day and I'm like, most of the times I'm like, wow, I can't believe I wrote that. Mm-hmm. That's so good. So usually that's my experience, but it was
so
different.
We're in a mental health. We're in a mental health situation.
So different when I first started writing.
Yeah.
A few months into the pandemic, it was like, whoa. Like you said, you know, I was just putting words on the paper. I was just like trying to feel through it, go through it, work the muscle, even though the brain and the heart wasn't really connected. I was working the muscle. I was putting word after word down on the page. And I was singing it back to myself and I was like, oh, the melody's not sitting right with me. Oh, that what I'm trying to express, that's not it. It's close, but it's not it. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot more of that kind of back and forth than what I'm used to. But I got there and I have to say that, you know, when I finally looked back on these songs, I was like, wow, like I had to dig deeper and I had to work a lot harder for them. But it's a different me.
Yeah.
You know, that was revealed and it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was therapy. It was therapy. And you know, that's what's been keeping me sane as we continue through this pandemic. That's now what, we're on the third year?
Well, slow down with your third year business. We are completing the second year.
No. We're going on the third year. It started March of 2020.
Right. We are completing the second year.
You're right.
I don't care if there's only 10 days later.
I had a baby. I already celebrated the baby's first birthday. All this happened during the pandemic. So for me, it was like, no, wait, this we're starting. But I mean, technically, it's, you know, December of 2019 that it started.
It was not here in Canada.
There was no lockdown.
Listen, I am not taking no extras.
But you're right.
I'm not taking no extras.
I did not stop
going to work until March 16th.
You're right.
2020.
My last show before everything shut down was the 14th of March.
There you go. Saturday.
So you're right. Technically, I haven't been living lockdown for 2 years yet. So March 14th will be the second anniversary of the lockdown.
Right.
Hey!
We should have a big party for that. And for the whole time we just play Coffee's song. Yeah. Is we dip on lockdown? Just play that on loop.
Oh, you're right. That's
just play it on loop until everybody's like.
We should alternate between that one and Toast. No.
Well, no, Toast don't have nothing to do with the lockdown. Toast is not a lockdown.
You said we should celebrate it.
No, but we're celebrating the lockdown, so just
you're right. But copy. I'm just saying, you know, it's nice to have a toast. And appreciate, you know, that we're still healthy.
Toast.
Yes. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We should alternate between the two songs, no?
Right. Okay. Okay. Every five lockdown, we play Toast. And then everybody has to take a sip of their drink.
All right. Right. I'm there.
Make it happen. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Shahara, who is a singer-songwriter, R&B singer-songwriter here in Montreal. We are Soul Perspectives, and we got to take a quick break, play some music, and come back to you. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul P on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, it's that time of year again. CKUT's annual funding drive. The theme for this year is CKUT Till Infinity. CKUT is a community-based university radio station, and this year's goal is $35,000. Here at Soul Perspectives, we would like our listeners and supporters to help us reach our personal goal of 10% of that, $3,500. We need just 100 people to donate $35 each. There will be prizes and surprises for all of our supporters. You can mail your checks to 3647 University Street or go to ckut.ca/donate. The fundraising drive officially runs from March 17 to 27. Please specify Soul Perspectives on your donation contribution. You can also donate at any point in time in the year. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere des Prairies Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest this evening's title track of her debut album, No Turning Back, gained momentum on the top 40 Hot AC and AC formats. The video, filmed in Montreal and nearby Laurentian Mountains, also played well. First featured on Much Music, then in rotation on both Much More and Much Vibe, Making of an Angel, her latest single, released in spring of last year, bears the vulnerability yet hope Shahara felt while becoming a mother, coupled with the confinement of the pandemic, though she initially found it difficult to be inspired during her separation from the stage, working with music producer Kent Austin, No Turning Back, and video production team Lab Noise, helped her rediscover her love for writing and recording. The rekindling has now fueled the creation of her upcoming and much-anticipated third studio album, set for release in summer of 2022.
Hey, yeah!
Welcome, Shahara. Thank you so much for being here. Before we went to the break, we were talking about, how you kind of started off the pandemic. You had a lot of writer's block, you experienced quite a few mental health issues in terms of like going to dark places and stuff like that, and the shining light for you was your firstborn.
Yeah. And then my second.
And then you decided to have a COVID baby.
I did.
And it was deliberate
planned.
Too.
It was planned, by the way.
Yeah, it was deliberate. It's like, we're going to have this baby. It's COVID, whatever.
I was like, the timing's great.
I'm home. Might as well take care of my kids. Like, yeah. Let's pop them out now. And then, when this thing gets over, apparently, in 2025.
Or 2030.
2010 is when I met you. Come on.
2010
is when I met you.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant 2030 is when I met.
Are you trying to hop in a DeLorean? What's going on?
Oh, no, I was thinking 10 years, but I said 2010. If you need the math behind my mistake, okay?
All right. So let's talk about motherhood. Because, when the pandemic
hit... You're not ready for this yet.
Why? Just in case you don't know, Shahara and I, when Shahara was performing, she always brought me up to do the reggae tunes with her. So if you hear us break out into reggae songs, that's what's going on.
Or the poetry.
No, none of the poetry business. No, that's no, for another
come
time.
Up and do that. Actually, if you could do that banana thing for me before we go, I would be so happy.
Not doing that banana thing on the air. Nope.
All right.
It's not the show for it.
Fine.
Yeah, so let's talk about motherhood, because you had your first baby shortly before the pandemic.
Yes.
And then you had your second baby during the pandemic.
Correct.
What was motherhood like for you? Were they both planned? Like, what was it like? And how does it fit into, how did it fit into your plan as like your career as like a, forget about the pandemic, but like, you know, you have a musical career that takes you all over the place, all over the world, literally, you mm-hmm. know, and you want to bring a child into the world. And how does that fit into the whole plan?
Yeah, good question. These were questions that I asked myself mm-hmm. before deciding to go forward with this. So for many years, I thought, I'm just going to be the cool aunt. That's just my thing, because music is my first love. You know, and I want to be able to be free to take any kind of contract, to go anywhere I need to go, to do late nights in the studio, to perform, come home, sleep in. So I didn't really see how a child could fit into my lifestyle yeah. either.
Yeah.
Until I met Mike.
Okay.
And of course, it wasn't my first relationship. I had been in other relationships before him. Mm-hmm. But I never saw myself starting a family.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. But I would say... within 2 years of being with Mike, I just started having visions.
Okay.
And I distinctly remember one time we were driving somewhere and I had a vision of a toddler boy speaking to me from the car seat in the back.
Mm.
And I started having a lot of little visions like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were strange because they would just come out of nowhere.
Right.
I guess maybe I was starting to think about it. I'm not sure, but it felt like they were happening randomly. I would just be, you
driving
know,
along, and then you hear a little voice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, or I would just be like, whoa. Like, I would just imagine that there was this toddler here talking to me.
Right.
And I started thinking, I think I want to have a baby. And mm-hmm. I had no clue how I was going to make it work. But I thought, you know what? People make it work. People
Absolutely.
Make it work.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to have to give up on my dream.
You put him on your back and you haul him with you.
I'm a mom. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be one of those things where it's going to be a leap of faith.
Yep.
And I'm just going to jump into it. I'm going to figure it out as I go, because I don't think there is any answer to those questions.
No.
So, you know, like in the Spider-Verse movie that I've been watching a lot because yeah. of my four-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, at one point, the red Spider-Man says to the black Spider-Man, how did you know when you were ready? And he says, it's a leap of faith, kid. That's yeah. all it is. It's a leap of faith. That's exactly how I felt, Kim. Mm. I was like, I'm just going to jump and I'm going to figure it out on the way down.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because I myself have been, I've been writing poetry for a long time. Now we're going into almost 30 years of writing poetry. I've been writing about a child at least since 2002.
Wow.
And I've been writing, and the metaphors are always surrounding astral bodies. So stars, sun, and always having that kind of thing. And I was very resistant, because this started when I was 22. 2002, I was 22 years old. I'm like, there's no way I'm ready to have a kid at 22 years old. We even had an accident when I was around 24, 25. And I was like...
What kind of accident? No, I'm joking.
The robot's bus. It bus. All right?
Okay.
I can say that. It broke. And I was like, there's no way. I'm not ready for this. Like, I haven't graduated from school. I'm still living at my mama's house. Like, in my head, it was like, absolutely not. And obviously, we didn't end up having a baby. But as time went by, I had visions. I had dreams. Like, I vividly remember dreaming about my child, the same child that you've seen in pictures. The only thing is that I was with someone else at the time, and she was Filipino, so he was like a little bit more light-skinned than he is now. But he looked exactly the same as in my dream.
Wow.
The hair, the eyes, everything. And I've also had a vision for a daughter as well. And I think that my mother said to me that children choose their parents. Mm-hmm. So on a very fundamental spiritual level, your child chooses you. So, you know, you hearing that was him knocking at the door, being like, hey.
And he loves knock-knock jokes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny, you know, because Mike really wanted a girl.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And I remember, you said, of course. That's like every man's dream.
I want a daughter.
So I remember in the first few months of my pregnancy, I guess because he kept talking about a girl and we were always talking about girl names, I started feeling like it was a girl. Mm-hmm. And then at around 5 months pregnant, when I did the ultrasound where they were able to determine the sex, and they told me it was a boy, I was like, well, duh. I remembered all my visions. And I was like, it was a toddler boy that I saw in all my visions.
Right.
And I'm like, man, this stuff is really real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it felt even more real to me, you know, that that really was the child that I was seeing in my visions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's it. So I saw my little baby boy before he came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just in case one of her boys is with us this evening, so if you hear a little toddler in the background or right very close by,
this one's the baby. Yeah, the second one.
Yeah. So like, what were some challenges, because you had the baby before the pandemic, and you were still, you know, doing your thing, performing and stuff like that.
I was.
What were some of the challenges? Because you know you can't really strap your baby to your back and you can do whatever you want, but you know it's very unusual to put the baby on your back and jump on stage.
Yeah. I mean, when he was in my belly, oh boy.
Okay, so you were still performing.
Oh my goodness, I performed right up until I gave birth. Okay. Like right up until I gave birth. I remember like my family and friends like being really scared, like, whoa, I think you're doing a little bit too much. The whole Beyonce, uh-oh, at 9 months pregnant, it's a little bit. But I felt so great. I felt really, really good. I was really, really fortunate. I had a super, super, you know, easy pregnancy. I didn't have any physical issues. Mm-hmm. So I was really able to perform right up until the end, which was awesome. And then I started back really, really quickly after he was born.
Okay.
And it was really challenging.
Okay.
Really, really challenging because I was exclusively breastfeeding.
Okay.
So what I would do is I would bring him to my performances with Mike, obviously.
Yeah.
So that he could watch him while I was singing. And then, you know, between my sets, I would be breastfeeding. It was really, really, really challenging.
Yeah,
it was really exhausting.
Okay.
Physically, and it was just super challenging to try to do everything. Like, you know, get into a vibe to be able to perform, you know, and be free on stage, and then like get right back into mommy mode and like take care of this little human that I was trying to figure out and understand. Mm-hmm. You know. So it was really, really tough. And I kind of feel like I was just in autopilot mode, you know? I was just going, just doing what I had to do. Yeah. You know, like I was letting the moments lead me. So it was tough.
Yeah.
It was definitely tough. So that's why I was telling you that when the lockdown first happened, in the beginning, I welcomed it.
Okay.
You know, 'cause it was really an opportunity to be like, whoo, let me take a breath here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. And just hang out with my kid.
Yeah. You know? When the lockdown, happened, Kent contacted you and eventually decided, okay, I'm going to start writing. Have you been performing? Have you, how has that been modified for you now?
Well, I've been really fortunate to still, you know, have, I guess, some great gigs. There's been like, you know, a lot of ups and downs since the start of the pandemic, but I've been really fortunate to do a lot of like private events and weddings and stuff like that. So there's been like some surges of work, which have been really, really great and have kept me afloat financially.
Okay.
And of course, going back to work the first time, which was the first summer of the pandemic, so summer of 2020, when things kind of started to open up a little bit and, you know, people were doing like these little micro weddings and stuff. So originally like 500 guest weddings that I was booked for, you know, they were now doing these small backyard ceremonies with like 25 guests, 30 guests.
Right.
So it was a real change of pace. And I was pregnant at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, and like I said, I had my toddler, my 2-year-old at home full time. I was pregnant and I was going off to these gigs, but luckily they required a lot less energy, right?
Rigamarole.
Cocktail music. I was like seated in a cute little dress and I was singing and, you know, things were over by like 9:30, 10 o'clock,
right.
You know? So it was a nice change of pace, and it actually helped me because I was going through a rough time at home with the pregnancy and my 2-year-old being at home 24/7. So that kind of, you know, helped me ease back into things. But then I gotta say that this second summer since the pandemic, so the summer of 2021, the weddings got bigger. You know, some people were just fed up and they were like, screw it, I'm gonna do my, you know, 500 guest wedding.
Wow.
And if I get a fine, I get a fine.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, I got a lot of last minute bookings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at that time, I had a young baby at home, plus my toddler. And it was like going back into work with the full energy and the full 8-piece band and the boom, boom, boom. So that was really hard. And I remember like being on stage and, you know, missing it so much. I'd be performing and it's like the adrenaline would just get me through the gig. I'd be like, whoa!
Yeah.
King Kong has on me. Or you know when I get in my mode, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Kim, that walk from my gig to the car at the end of the night, I gotta tell you, a lot of times I don't even know how I made it to the car. Like that's when the adrenaline would fade and it was just me, my exhausted self that like wasn't used to this, still recovering from the second baby. You know, and I was like, I hadn't exercised this muscle, you know, physically. I hadn't been dancing. I hadn't been singing.
Right.
So doing all of that at that intensity, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
It's the same thing as what we were saying earlier about the writing. It's the same thing with your body. It's like your cardio is not where it was, where it used to be. Your vocal cords are not... as exercised as they used to. Mm-hmm.
So that was super tough. And I remember like I would get home and like the baby was still waking up for like breast milk, you know? So sometimes I would come home from a gig not even knowing like, oh my gosh, like how am I going to make it inside my house?
Right.
And you know, I'd come home and the baby would be waiting for me like, hello. So, it was challenging. This past spring, summer, and fall, although I worked a lot, it was really, really hard. It was hard mentally and physically.
Okay.
So it's nice right now to have another little break,
right.
I gotta say, and I'm really hoping that it doesn't last as long as the first time. But it is nice to be able to just chill. And now I'm like, you know, let me start, you know, doing my vocal exercises. Let me start doing my little online workouts. Let me get ready, you know, because I know people are so fed up. And once given the opportunity, it's going to be like full throttle for the gigs.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just trying to build up a little bit, you know? I'm trying to be smarter.
Build up some stamina.
So I can handle it, exactly.
Right. Because after the gig, your body said, we're up on lockdown.
My body broke. I didn't even understand, like, the heels and everything. I wasn't even used to wearing heels anymore because I was constantly in, like, running shoes and, you know, like, sweats and leggings, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody's been doing for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. running around with my kids, you know, like no makeup. So like getting back into the whole, like, you know, wearing heels and fitted clothing and.
You realize just how much work you were doing back then. Because I find that a lot of the times when we're in that mode of, like, we're constantly doing shows and we're constantly producing and we're constantly just keep going, and then when we get a break and then we're required to start again, it's like, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How did I do all of this back then? Because I can't do it now.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's because the muscle has, like you say, you'll get fat.
Yeah.
You know, you put on some weight, you put on a little thing over
here. Oh, and that's the thing. I was baking like crazy. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you had some amazing cookies.
Oh, man. I've been killing it with the bake. You thought those cookies were good, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! I could open up my own bakery now. I've had a lot of practice.
Yeah. I remember the cake for Akbar's first baby.
His gender reveal.
Yeah.
That's so sweet that you remember that cake.
Yeah, man, that was amazing. I was having so much fun.
Yeah. I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Shahara, who is just an awesome, awesome person overall. If you know her, you know she's awesome. But she's also an R&B singer-songwriter here in Montreal. She's about to release her next album this summer. So, you know, I'm going to see if we can, like, maybe get a couple of tracks to play for you. Maybe an exclusive. Soul P exclusive. But we do have to take a break. We do have to play some music and pay the bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT on 90.3
FM. You took up a so wrong with me. I wasn't good enough to let me be. I can't take it. Knew that was the way to say this. Throw me down, they can stop me now. I'm bouncing. There will be no turning back. Ain't got time for that. There's better ways. I'm holding on to better days.
Take what she wants, take what she wants, take what she wants, turn up. Let's get it. I don't bounce, I don't sway, I just skip on them, skip, skip on them. Look, look what I did on them, do it big on them, steady dip, dip on them. Tell my homie, y'all, we about to do a little jig on them. I don't bounce, I don't sway, I just skip on them, skip, skip on them. Look, look what I did on them, do it big on them, steady dip, dip on them. Tell my homie, y'all, we about to do a little jig on them. Chest popping, skip, whoa, smacking. Groove, whip, pose, wobble, focus, placement. We jabbing the streets, your room, the basement. We labbing, I'm hefty, I'm live, no guessing. Just bring it, grab them, slam them, snatch it, then swing it. Bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out. Man, we bang it out on them.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have an awesome, awesome artist who goes by the name Shahara. She's a Montreal-based R&B singer-songwriter, and she brings a rare blend of talent, experience, and tenacity to both her music and the business aspects of her career. I wanted to ask you, Shahara.
Ask me.
About that part, the second part of your career, the business aspects of your career, because like what I found as an artist, I went to theater school, I went to cinema school, two different cinema schools, and like the emphasis is always on the art, 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 and like maybe a tiny little bit of the actual class is dedicated to the business side of like artwork. And if you didn't take the initiative to like take a business course, take a marketing course, take an accounting course, like you were kind of like left to your own devices. How did you, like, how do you work on the business aspect of your career? Because it's a very important and essential part of your career. Like you have to manage your money, you have to manage your time, you know, accounting. You know, even if you have to hire somebody, this onus is still on you for a certain amount of the process, the accounting process. So, like, when did you first start going, okay, the business side needs some attention? And, like, what is your process in terms of taking care of business?
Well, to be honest with you, I never took a business or marketing or management course.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned through experience and through necessity.
Right.
So I have been fortunate that a lot of people that I've worked with in my career from the beginning taught me a lot of lessons. I was never really, I know a lot of people, they say, oh, you know, I've been so taken advantage of in this business. So I've been fortunate in that sense that I've never worked with someone that's really like done me wrong.
Yeah.
But I did learn from a lot of people that made me consider how I wanted to move in this industry. You right. know what I mean? Like, how much money do I want to make? How much control do I want to have? I wanted to know everything that was happening. Like, I was always interested. I asked so many questions. Like, I wanted to know, you know, how do royalties work? You know, where do these percentages come from? What are the standards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does it work to license a song? You know, how do samples work? And I was always so interested, like, you know, from the production of the song to the marketing of the song, you know, to how, you know, shows are negotiated. Like, I was so interested in all of these aspects. So I was constantly asking questions.
Yeah.
From people that I respected and I thought that were doing things well.
Yeah.
And successful and seemed happy. So that's how I learned, really. That was my school.
Okay.
I was always interested. I wasn't one of those artists, I guess, that was just happy to show up at the studio, sing, and then, you know, get a check in the mail. And they're just like, woohoo, like, let me go shopping right. and get some new, you know, red bottoms. Like, And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. Like, some people are happy with that, but that's just not my personality.
Right.
I always want to know, you know, I'm not one that goes to the dentist and when they're filling, doing something in my mouth, I want to know, okay, what instrument is that? And what exactly does that do? And how long do you, that's just how I am. Right. I like to know.
You're naturally curious about anything that you're involved with. So that natural curiosity went to your career and so what's your process now? So like you've learned about the different things and you were
That's how
I don't want to say fortunate because I don't think it's like luck. It's like you surround yourself with the kind of people that match your vibe, match your energy.
Absolutely.
You know? And so you surrounded yourself with good people who were not about trying to take advantage of you. At least for the most part, because, you know, we always have one or two stinkers around the place that, you know, we have to be like, sure. Oh, you need to go.
For sure.
So what is your process like now? Like, okay, someone wants to hire you for a gig. What does that process look like?
Well, I do not have a manager, so I am self-managed. So I handle all of the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what kind of inquiry I receive, I handle the negotiations. So whether someone wants me to write a song for them, someone wants me to sing at their wedding, someone wants me to, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I handle all of those negotiations. And to be honest, sometimes I have to call people and ask, you know, hey, what are the standards? If someone wants me to just come into the studio and sing some back vocals, for example, you know, what I start by finding out what the standards are and then consider, okay, how important is this to me? You know, does it kind of fit what I'm doing? Time-wise, do I have the time for it? Is it worth it? So all of these things, you know, factor into me deciding what price I'm going to charge.
Yes.
And that's it. So, I mean, I handle all of these negotiations. I handle all of the paperwork as well. And I mean, I started off by, you know, many years ago, just looking up several different, you know, contract examples online. And just as I've been going and finding out what's important, you know, I've been kind of changing it as I go along. And now I have a contract that, you know, works really well for me and kind of covers all the bases for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just been trial and error and experience. And at the base, I think you really have to, have that in you. Like, not everybody has that in them. Not everybody wants to manage. Not everybody is interested in the details of the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've just been that person, naturally. So, you know, even though sometimes I will say that I think it takes away from the artistic side of me. Like, sometimes I wish in certain projects that I could just focus on the art. Like, sometimes I do just want to be that person that shows up in the studio, lights a candle, has a glass of wine, and just has to worry about, you know, my vocal performance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, you know,
it's not an easy thing to do, balance.
No, it's not.
You know? And it could be the reason why I'm not further.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm not necessarily saying that this is like the gift. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
just the way that you've been running.
It's the way that I am, like, be it a curse or be it, you know, a gift. It's me.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So maybe now is the time that, since you know all of it, maybe now is the time to find someone who may not necessarily completely be a manager, but could provide some administrative support on that level. Because I find that the more that you know about the administrative side, the business side of it, it's the less likely someone can just come in and like take advantage of you. And since you have that knowledge, maybe now is the time to be like, okay, I need someone who is going to fulfill this, and this for me when I have XYZ gigs. So when it comes
100%, I mean, everybody needs a team. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like I always tell my son, teamwork makes the dream work. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yes,
everybody needs a team. And I'm not trying to be a one woman show.
Yeah.
You know, a one woman project or a one woman, you know, industry at all. I just want to be with the right people. You know what I mean? And I've been approached by many people that I felt, this is not really the right fit, because I want somebody that has the same dream as me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to just work with somebody that sees dollar signs and, oh, wow, you know, like I could just take 20% off the top. You know what I mean? I could just
come in. You have to be on the same vibrational level. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, for me, it's just, it's a lot more. And I want to be, you know, working with people every day that make me feel good, that, you know, that I feel like really understand me and really have, you know, are aligned with, you know, my beliefs.
Yeah.
And my vision.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that I could trust. And I guess that's not easy to find. And I haven't found it yet, but trust me, if I do, and don't get me wrong, I work with a lot of people that I have a great connection with, like from producers to, you know, video production to, you know, makeup artists to, you know, like I've had people marketing for me on the radio. Like I've worked with tons of people. Don't get me wrong. I work with my accountant is awesome. You know, she handles all of my finances. So I'm not alone in this at all.
No, but for sure.
In terms of having, like, you know, a label or, you know, a management, someone to just kind of take over, you know, the administrative side of it completely. So I could just meet in, check in with them once a week, be like, okay, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm missing that big, you know,
that element.
Yeah. That big piece of the puzzle, you know?
I feel like it's a smaller piece of the puzzle because you got, you got it. It's just, you need to, it's like a couple of pieces that are there that you're like, okay, the puzzle can, like them two pieces that them can stay over there for a little bit.
No, yeah? I understand what you're saying because you're saying that the product's already there.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the most important part. And you just need that right person to kind of, that understands.
Put that polish on it. Put that finishing polish on it.
Yeah, but I think it's really important because, I mean, if I sign the wrong deal or sign to the wrong label or have the wrong manager, to me, it could be detrimental. And
absolutely.
I could be, you know, waking up and thinking, oh, my gosh, like I'm no longer finding the joy in doing what I've always loved. And I guess that's my biggest fear.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because as artists, I'm sure you're the same way. We're so sensitive, you know what I mean, to energies and vibes. And I can become uninspired so easily.
Quickly.
Yeah. Like just having the wrong people around me can just like put out my fire, Kim, like instantly. It's just amazing how sensitive I am. So
you're an empath.
It's just important to be around the right people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, to me it's a big piece, but I understand what you're saying. Depending on the perspective, it can be big or small.
Yeah. You're an empath. Essentially, that's what you are, because I'm the same way in that, like, and people label us as, oh, you're too sensitive. No, it's I'm in tune with what's going on around me on like a spiritual and a vibrational level. Yeah. And you need to respect that, because that means that I am on high alert. I can sense things before they happen.
It's also not a choice, right? Like, you're either that way or you're not, right? I don't think anybody sits down and says, hey, I want to be extra sensitive.
I want to feel everything. No, I don't want to. It's not, like you were saying early, sometimes it's a gift, sometimes it's a curse, you know? It's not.
But I also think it helps us do our jobs really well.
Yeah.
Because it helps us to connect with people. And, you know, in sensing energies around us, we can very easily help people to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that I can get up there and, you know, connect with people so easily when I'm on stage. That's a big part of it, you know, being so sensitive to energies and feelings. So, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world, but of course it does have its, it does have its
ups and downs.
Right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there is nothing on this planet that's 100% good for you or 100% bad for you. There's always a give and take. No matter what it is, it could be food, it could be drink. You can drink too much water. You can drown drinking like too much
balance
water.
Balance is the key of life.
Exactly.
It's the key to anything. Balance.
So my next question for you is, this new album that has been produced like within the quarantine situation, what are we going to get from Shahara this time around?
Well, it's definitely I want to say it's a new Shahara, but I hesitate because I feel like I'm reconnecting with who I was when I first started to do this. Mm. So I feel like I've rediscovered myself. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've shed the protective layers that okay. I've had to zip up.
Okay.
Since I started in this industry so many years ago.
All right.
I feel like I've now taken them off one by one and I've rediscovered who I was and the things that made me so eager to jump into this business. And you know how it is. I mean, everybody tells you like, it's not lucrative. You know, you can't really be a singer. I mean, you know how hard it is to really get a record deal and really get to a level.
Sometimes, you know, when I hear those people saying that, I'm like, did you follow your dream?
Yeah.
Who trampled on your dream, honey? Like, who stepped on your dream and stopped you?
More importantly, do you even know what your passion is?
Yeah.
Because that's really usually people that haven't taken a leap mm-hmm. and believe in themselves because they haven't even taken the time to figure out what really makes them tick. Like, what really brings me joy?
Yeah.
Like, because the thing is, the way society is set up, it doesn't encourage that.
No.
You know, we go to school and we're encouraged to kind of choose a lane, choose a path that's going to be lucrative.
Yep.
You know I mean, that's going to be kind of foolproof.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're not really taught to take a leap.
I mean,
there's no class that teaches us to take a leap. It's, you got to do the safe thing. You know what I mean? If you're going to go to school and you're going to pay all this money, you're going to
want to. You want your guarantees. You want to make sure that you get your retirement package at 65 years old. Quality of life.
Exactly. And,
like, even me, like, when I tell people where I work, they're like, oh my God, that's such a great place, because I work within the federal government system mm-hmm. where I am. And they're like, oh my God, great retirement package. And I'm like, bro, no, that's not what I'm looking at. Like, I know I'm going to live till I'm a 102. Like, I've put that in the universe for the last 10 years. But I don't want to sit and live on a retirement package. When I'm 102, I need to have just gotten off the stage, went to sleep, and then I don't wake up, you know? That needs to be...
Kim, that brings tears to my eyes, because that's exactly what I want to do.
2082, baby, that's it. Yeah, September 11,
2082. I want to be one of those ones that's, you know, I want to use my last breath to sing a note.
See,
you know, because I really believe that that's what I'm here to do. That's what makes me feel good. And I feel connected to my purpose when I'm singing.
Amen
and
to that.
It's not about the money, you know, like
mm-hmm.
people tell me all the time, like, oh my gosh, like, why don't you do this business wise? And you know, you should be here already. And you could have been like Rihanna and you this and you that. But I'm like, I love Rihanna, by the way, like she's my girl. I'm a huge fan, but I don't know if Rihanna's happy. I don't know if Rihanna is fulfilled. Like, I know she looks fantastic and I know, you know what I mean? Like, she's got tons of assets. Mm-hmm. I don't know really what's going on in her head and in her heart.
Nope.
And to me, that's what's most important.
Yeah.
So you should be telling me, you know, what's important is being fulfilled and being happy, mm-hmm. not being a superstar and being recognized and having tons of money, because that doesn't mean that you are fulfilled. And listen, to me, that's most
superstars,
important.
These superstars.
And if I could have both, Ken.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I mean, if you look at these superstars are killing themselves.
Yeah.
On a
yeah,
regular no, basis.
It's not.
You know, and like we're finding out that this one is cheating. Jada is cheating on Will Smith, and they're doing a whole video thing about it. And then, you know, we're seeing all of this stuff happening. So it's like, no, these are real people. With real, real ass problems,
mm-hmm.
And social media is just. I told someone this the other day. Social media is the Photoshop of today. You know, it's the airbrush. Everything is airbrushed.
Yeah, 100%.
And like for me, I am totally against that. I'm like, if I'm not feeling good today, I'm gonna let you know I'm not feeling good today.
Yeah.
I'm fighting with this, this, and this. This is my situation. Because I feel like we're at the height of fakeocracy.
Oh yeah.
You know, like everybody has to be fake. Everybody has to be look a certain way, and it's damaging to our society. It's damaging to us as human beings because nobody's real anymore.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, a friend of mine spontaneously contacted me during the day. He's like, "Hey man, what are you doing today?" And I told him what I was doing, and he said I could come over when you're done before you have this meeting and da da da. And I was like, okay, it's 3 o'clock, good. And he came through around 3:30, 3:45, and we hung out. Who does that? Nobody does that anymore. Yeah, Nobody does that anymore. I mean, forget about the pandemic. Nobody says, "Yo, what you doing today? All right, you can pass by around this time."
I still have some of those gems in my life, I gotta say.
But generally speaking, you know, you call a person a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance, and then you plan, and then you plan to some people plan for the arrival and they plan for the departure. They're like, by such and such a time, you need to go, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of people are. And me, I'm just like, I come from the Caribbean. Like, I literally used to just walk up to my friend's yard, open his fridge, cook dinner for me and him, and we sit down and we line.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how it used to be. A friend of mine called me out of the blue. Last night I was on my phone doing some texting and making some business stuff and arranging some meetings and whatnot. They called me out of the blue and we sat down and we chat for like an hour. Like, who calls people anymore? Everything is text message. We're texting to make an arrangement to go and talk somewhere. Like, there's no room for like real life.
You're right.
Lad, you have me upon this rant, and now I'm going to take up the whole of the time.
This is good. Let it out. I'm here for you. Let it out.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Soul Perspective with my guest, Kim Dominic Ferguson.
We do have to take a break and play some music. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Comme un cyclone, on va tourner. Mais peut bien voir un spectacle qui sonne comme de la merde. Tout le monde va faire semblant que c'était révolutionnaire. Que la salle soit vide ou pleine, pour le sang pleine, ça rien qu'on m'aime.
You know what I'm talking about.
Celui qui rappait sur scène, je le représente. Il a un nouveau projet, qu'est-ce que tu en penses? On prévoit sa sortie pour l'automne 2040.
This flight with EastJet. Let's fast forward this red tape.
When I press play, you ejected. Boarding on this plane now. Sitting next to an old plane.
Memories can switch lanes, so I'm sitting lazy with a new aim. We had food in two shots, then we got to my spot. This time I'ma get my hopes up, so real I need no makeup. Life is made of great gift, I mean you were so fantastic. Felt like it was magic, our connection was so instant. Time to leave our romance, we're side to side facing turbulence. Not once, not twice, we gave a chance. The zone we flown can stand a chance. I take my hand, last chance. We got so high, now we're landing. I'm feeling down the distance, but there's no stopping.
Can we fly one more time before it becomes a no-fly zone? We'll go places we don't know. Let's fly away. Yeah.
Should have been on flight mode, cruise control in the front row. A glass of scotch with no rocks, with a new headset at a low cost. 6 o'clock, no scandal. I guess tonight let's gamble. Smooth just like a Land Rover. Then come back with new clothes. Trying to talk but the door's closed. It takes 2 or 3 to tango. How we got so damn low, man? I miss you like the rainbow. Smoothness now with a black box. If you ask me, it's green though. 'Cause every day was a new show. On loop just like a sample. Living life slow, yeah, mango.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. We're back. We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are speaking to Montreal-based R&B singer-songwriter Shahara Sinclair, who continues to bring a rare blend of talent, experience, and tenacity to both her music and the business aspects of her career. Shahara, I've had so much fun talking to you. We always have fun together.
Kim, why don't you just pick up the phone and call me sometimes? What's up with that?
Squeeze me? Is put me on blast just so you know what
stay,
you know
though.
What you know
stay.
What
I
one day
stay.
Your phone is gonna ring watch
no you know what, you have already shown me that you care, and I love these little random moments where you just send me pictures from back in the day. It really warms my heart, and I so appreciate those random texts. Keep them coming.
I will. I always.
They're a real treat.
I've realized that my love language is to be of service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take many different forms. And I mean, if it's as simple as sending pictures from back in the day when we used to get on bad.
I love it.
Or get on happy.
I love it.
That's what I'm going to do. So back to you. Back to you. You do have your album coming out.
Yes.
The third album. And we had kind of started talking about like what people are going to experience, because you're rediscovering yourself, you're rediscovering your roots, getting back to it. But like on the album itself, what kind of music are we going to be getting? Because you call yourself an R&B singer-songwriter, but you dabble in, you know, different genres.
Yeah, for sure.
You got different kind of feels to you.
For sure. Musically, not only have I kind of gone back to the person that, you know, wrote that first song, wrote that first album many years ago, but I've also gone back to that style.
Mm.
So I started out with much more of a smooth, sexy, feel-good kind of vibe. And then...
Like Funk 'n Boots and No Turning Back.
Yes. Yes. And then with my second album, I went more in a pop direction, which was still nice, but I feel really good about the vibe of mm-hmm. this new album. It feels much more connected to who I am right now, what I am living right now.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of my first album. So it kind of makes sense that I reunited with the producer of my first album.
Yep.
Because that's how I'm feeling. So it was nice to be able to work with someone that understood that and helped to polish it.
Yeah.
So what you can expect is a lot of the same vibe from my first album, you know, the sultry, smooth, easygoing lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just feel good music, you know, that kind of like you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. In your chest, you know, and then just makes you want to do this.
Yeah. Just bob your head.
Right now,
just
bob your head. You can feel me.
Yeah. 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 Final couple of questions. Is legacy something that's important to you?
I think that by being connected to who we really are, that it's inevitable.
Okay. And
that's what I feel. I mean, I don't put any kind of importance on leaving a legacy.
Okay.
But I feel that as long as you're doing what feels right to you, that it's inevitable.
Mm. Because I was going to ask you, the follow-up question was going to be, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Because you're a mom, you have at least two sons, you know. I don't know if there's plans for anybody. You're done? You're done. Me done. Well, you have two sons, and I was going to ask, like, what kind of legacy would you want to leave for them?
I want my kids to remember me as the badass chick that did what she felt was right.
Right.
That's how I want my kids to remember me. I want them to be like, wow, my mom wasn't scared.
Mm.
She wasn't scared to be herself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She didn't try to fit a mold. She always did what felt right to her. Got whether it was wrong or right.
Yeah.
It felt right to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough for me to take a leap.
There you go.
And I want my kids to remember me like that.
All right. Well, Shahara, that brings us to the end of the show. Tell people where they can find your current albums, where they can pick up or get your new album, like how you're going to be doing the release, stuff like that.
Well, the release will be digital. It's coming this summer, and it'll be available on all digital platforms. I'm hoping, depending on where we're at with this pandemic, that I could do, you know, a nice album launch and invite people out to come and experience all the songs live.
Yeah.
That would be real nice. That's how I'd like to do it. But of course, I'm at the mercy of Omicron/COVID-19/Delta.
Slash Monsieur Legault.
So we'll see. But of course, it'll be available online. And I'll definitely let people know when it's coming and, you know, where they can pick it up.
And your social media handles in case people want to follow you and hit you up?
My Instagram is Shahara_Sinclair. And Facebook, I believe, is Shahara Sinclair Music.
All right. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Go to @Shahara_Sinclair for IG, Instagram, and Shahara Sinclair Music for Facebook. Thank you so much for being here. It was good to have a little your little Baba guest starring with us and throwing in a little bit of opinions every once in a while. I wish you well. I wish you all the best with this new album. And I'm putting it in the universe, like, you're going to be able to have a live album release. I interviewed a brother of mine a few weeks ago, and he's launching his book, and he wants it to be on his birthday. He wants to have, like, a live release and have his peeps be there live. So I'm putting it out in the universe for him. I'm putting it out in the universe for you. You're going to party up for your last album. What's the name of your third album?
I don't have a name yet.
Ooh, okay.
I have all the songs lined up, but I am not sure yet what I'm going to call this album.
All right. Well, you know, by the time summer rolls around, the name will be here. Thank you so much, Shahara, for taking the time to be here with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed most of tonight's show, you can always go back and listen to it on the archives, www.ckut/archives. It'll be up at 8:31. You can listen to the whole show. You can listen to the first hour. You can listen to the second hour. We are here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Join us again next week. You've been listening to, I have been Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3.
Can we do that together again?
Let's try. Wait, 1, 2, 3. CKUT 90.3 FM. No, it's not working. CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful night.
Yes, it's that time of year again. CKUT's annual funding drive. The theme for this year is CKUT Till Infinity. CKUT is a community-based university radio station, and this year's goal is $35,000. Here at Soul Perspectives, we would like our listeners and supporters to help us reach our personal goal of 10% of that, $3,500. We need just 100 people to donate $35 each. There will be prizes and surprises for all of our supporters. You can mail your checks to 3647 University Street or go to ckut.ca/donate. The fundraising drive officially runs from March 17 to 27. Please specify Soul Perspectives on your donation contribution. You can also donate at any point in time in the year. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hey, this is Roxanne Shante, and of course you know I am listening to CKUT 90.3.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions. Myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars, 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THT Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear, what's popping in your neighborhood. We got to know.
This piano piece may well sound ordinary to you, until you realize that it was taught to young Chloe just last week by Janet, who's still teaching at 81. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement de Québec.
Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascoltați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90,3 FM CKUT.
Representing the second part of the interview with Stephen Tracy Eisenberg.
I got tons of media attention because of his background and the genocide and whatnot, but it was difficult to sell records until I finally got a record deal in France. And quite honestly, I got refused.